You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
To kick off the second hour of the Best of Civic Media Spotlight Edition, we have Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, where Congressman Mark Pocan is asked about the literacy skills of his GOP colleagues, since it now seems that many of them never read President Trump's big, beautiful bill that they voted for. He also talks about his recent visit to ICE detention facility in Dodge County, where people are still being held secretly and without the due process our Constitution requires.
Here's a reminder of this hour's keyword in the Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. The word is road, R-O-A-D. Text the word road through the Civic Media app and you're in the running for Brewers tickets. Club level seats, they are great seats. I've used these. You're going to want these tickets. Details at Civic Media's website, civicmedia.us. That again, you have till the end of the hour to text road, and then you'll have more chances to win at 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. All right, we got a lot of ground to cover here with Congressman Mark Pocan, so let's just get right into that. Congressman, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, Pat. Thanks for having me.
You bet. We're going to have a lot to say about the Donald Trump's big bloated boondoggle in just a sec here, but you did recently visit the Dodge County Jail, and I wanted to start by asking about that because President Trump has once again chosen to impose some kind of a travel ban, which seemed very serious in the first term. In the second term, it almost seems more like a diversion from all of the heist that's going on in Washington, D.C. But a lot of people are getting caught up in this anti-immigrant fervor, including undocumented immigrants who, you know, may or may not have committed any crimes. But we don't know because they're not getting due process. One of them was actually framed by somebody else who committed a crime. And yet he, the victim, is still in the Dodge County Jail. And what was that visit like for what is also an ICE detention facility?
Sure. Well, and you're right. The best way to be a pickpocket is to divert someone's attention. So Donald Trump, while they're picking our pockets to pay for a tax cut, tax break for Elon Musk and himself and anyone who could afford to go to Mar-a-Lago, we're floating things like, travel bans, et cetera. You know, the reason we went, and it's the only ICE facility in Wisconsin, it's at the Dodge County Jail to check it out, is because one, it's part of what we need to do for our oversight responsibilities as a member of Congress, but also in New Jersey, they actually are charging a member of Congress who went and did that with some criminal laws. So, I think in solidarity, many of us were like saying, all right, ICE is just a rogue extra governmental organization right now because they don't talk to us. And, we tried to reach out to them. We took the number off the website for the Milwaukee office. It's disconnected. So, we can't even get a hold of someone there. We did do a tour. The county sheriff, a Republican, a partisan Republican, but was very fair. I mean, he gave us a good tour. I think he didn't love that we were there, but at the same time, he was exactly what he should do. He gave us a very polite, respectful tour. We saw conditions. I think are what we've seen in all the reports. They're really good conditions, and I think they run a good facility. The real problem was no one from ICE is there. About every 3 weeks, they show up, other than to drop people off. And there's really no way to ask the questions we needed to ask about who's there, why they're there, what the due process rights, et cetera, are. And one of the people is a constituent of Gwen Moore's who, he was framed, but at the time they didn't know. Supposedly he did a letter threatening the President Trump. But, very quickly that story went south because the person's illiterate, both in English and Spanish. And this was a very well-written, very beautiful handwriting letter. Well, it turns out someone was trying to frame them to try to kick them out of the country. And they're still holding the person despite that. In fact, they're supposed to have a hearing yesterday, and Gwen told me they postponed it. So she's going back Friday to talk to her constituent. But, it's not so much the facility that, as you might expect in Wisconsin, we do things a little better probably than other places. But it's certainly ICE, the fact that then the sheriff gave me his contact number for ICE afterwards, and I called, and I've yet to get a call back, and that was Monday. Today's Thursday. Just shows you how they think they are above the law as an agency.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're really veering into secret police territory, police state territory, where people can be held behind bars without charges, and that nobody is accountable for this. These are folks who loved playing this game when things like the Affordable Care Act was passing, or any other big bills. But it turns out they're no different. When they want to ram something through, they'll apologize later for things that they didn't know were in it, but they voted for anyway. There's that.
You can keep it coming, but I know reading is difficult, so we won't go there. No, this is the problem. You know, all the committees did this overnight votes. The Rules Committee met overnight. We voted. Some people are up for a day and a half nonstop doing the bill, and literally at the crack of dawn is when we voted on the bill after an all-night session. If you saw members, we looked even worse than we do normally, you know, to see how tired people were. And now they're saying, oh, we didn't know what's in the bill. Well, no, you know, of course you didn't know what's in the bill. And another member from Nebraska said he didn't know about this courts provision was in the bill. And, you know, now we're finding out a lot of people are trying to step away from aspects of the bill. Well, I don't blame them. I mean, there's a lot of bad stuff in that bill. If I was Derek Van Orden or Brian Stile or others in Wisconsin, and I voted for a $500 billion cut to Medicare, I voted to kick off 14 million people in the country from their health care, 11 million kids and others from food assistance, I'd be as ashamed as you can imagine as well. And then they won't do a town hall to talk about it. Look, the Wisconsin smell test, the most simple thing in the world. If you're proud of something, you brag about it. You don't hide in your basement and hope no one calls. And that's exactly what every Republican in Wisconsin is doing right now.
Well, without a doubt. And as people read it, even the world's richest man looks at this and calls it an abomination and looks at the amount that's being cut. Now, I grant you, Elon Musk and Ron Johnson and others, they're unhappy with it only because it would be better balanced if they would cut even more. Okay. Yeah. But at least they're making the point that way too much of this is going on the national credit card. Again, for people who lived to talk about how much is going on the national credit card, it seems like they feel the taxpayer can afford anything as long as it's something they want on the national credit card. In this case, tax cuts.
And now this, they're trying to present a big lie to people that no one's going to lose benefits and that this won't add to the debt. We had Russ Vogt, the director of the OMB, the architect of Project 2025 in my subcommittee yesterday, and he tried to say that again, like he did on the Sunday news shows. And I said, well, the Cato Institute, a Republican-leaning group, disagrees with you. Elon Musk disagrees with you. Senator Hawley disagrees with you. Senator Collins disagrees with you. Senator Rand, disagrees with you. Who else? There are a whole bunch of the Congressional Budget Office, a nonpartisan agency. The director is appointed by Republicans. Disagree with you. I go, are you the only one that's right? And he's like, yep. So, you know, they're just trying to put this lie out. A few people like Derek Van Orden probably fundamentally believe it. But, it takes reading a little bit and you can very quickly see if you cut funds, that kind of drastic cut, $700 billion from Medicaid, $300 billion from the Affordable Care Act, $500 billion from Medicare, people are going to lose care. And it's just common sense. And, you know, unfortunately, the Republicans are just trying to ignore that they took this vote. And this is going to hang on them well into next year.
And by the way, all the focus has been much of the focus has been on Medicaid and to a lesser degree, SNAP and other things. But Medicare is involved in this as well, indirectly, but still. If folks who are seniors going, well, I'm on Medicare, I haven't heard them talk about that, so I guess I'm OK. You might not be.
No, because of the PAYGO rules, and I won't go deep into the weeds, it triggers sequestration, which is taking back of funds, and it will require a $500 billion cut to Medicare. They could have took care of it in their overnight sessions, but they just didn't want to pause for anything. They just wanted to get this done so that Donald Trump had it by Memorial Day. The problem is every Republican in Wisconsin in the House voted to cut a $500 billion from Medicare, and they didn't try to fix it along the way. So I would love to know who they think in Wisconsin doesn't deserve the money they've paid in all their life through their paychecks and their employers have paid in for Medicare, and now it's going to be cut. That is an unconscionable vote.
When we hear the talk about the deficits and the national debt and things like this, and I'm not looking that this will all be solved by you and Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders and things like that. But when you look at the graph of how much of that debt is there because of tax giveaways to the rich, it does make people like me feel like, well, what if we just took one of those basic wealth tax ideas that we often hear from the progressive side of the aisle? And how much of these debt and deficit problems could we address if we actually right-sized our tax code once again?
When you look at the skew these bills offer for the wealthiest, I think one analysis I saw, about 40%, the bottom 40% of people are going to pay more under this bill. People in the top 0.1% do really, really well. Top 1% really well. Top 10% do well. But, you know, pretty soon real people don't get it. And then they said, well, we did a tax on, they got rid of the tax on tips and on overtime and on auto loan interest and a tax cut for seniors. Well, those four that are for, I call real people, add up to 5% of the bill. So 95% of the bill is pork going to Elon Musk and Donald Trump. And, the rest of us get a little bit. And even then, scratch the surface, and that gold is fake that Donald Trump is putting on everything in the White House. Because, for example, the tax on tips, a third of people who are tipped or wage earners don't even make enough to pay federal income taxes. And of low and moderate waged workers, tip workers are only 5% of them. So you're ignoring the vast, vast majority of working folks. And then when it comes to overtime, there's a bunch of categories where you can't qualify. You're still going to have to pay your FICA. It's only on the overtime amount, not your regular pay amount. You still got to pay tax. And there's a whole bunch of asterisks that, won't even fit on a sheet of paper. So a lot of these, and they're also temporary. Unlike the corporate tax cuts or the tax cuts for the wealthy are permanent, tax cuts for us are only going to last for a few years. So, this bill is the worst bill I have seen in over 30 years of being in Congress. And I can't wait to talk about it everywhere I can.
You've been in the Congress. You've been in the legislature. We talked in the last segment about the Republicans in the legislature walking away from the negotiating table with Governor Evers, and Republicans in Congress trying to ram this through in one bill because otherwise they have to follow regular order, which could subject it to the filibuster and everything else. And yet, Elon Musk and some others are now saying, kill the bill. But that would mean probably going through regular order. And I know I hesitate to ask anybody to make predictions, but your thoughts anyway on whether this bill does find some way to get modified, sent through the Senate and approved again by the House, or are we actually facing the prospect of, like the previous couple of years, we get to October 1st and there's still no federal budget?
That's a somewhat of a separate issue from this. But yes, to that question, I'm on our probes and we don't even have all the numbers and they're asking us to start marking things up, which is ridiculous. I think the Senate originally only had 2% of the cuts of the House. So there's a big difference between the two bills. Look, I wake up to bad choices and worse choices every single day. I'm all for bad choices. To me, a bad choice is stop the cuts to healthcare and food assistance and education funding from people. I think they're going to get their tax cut bill no matter what. There's unity on that. How they pay for it might just go on the national debt like the last time, which is not a good answer. But I don't want to hurt people right now. One out of three kids in Wisconsin who gets their health insurance from Medicaid, 55% of our seniors in nursing homes. I mean, those aren't the people that should have to pay for Elon Musk to be able to put more rockets into the air.
Well, like I've said, if it ends up just all going on the national credit card, they're just going to try to once again divert people in next year's election campaigns with all kinds of other mudslinging and try to get people to forget all about their pockets being picked. Congressman Mark Buchanan, as always, we appreciate the update. Thanks for what you're doing. We'll talk again real soon.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
You bet. Take care. Safe travels to you. Let's pause here, and then we'll have more coming up all across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow, live from Lake Wissota. Thanks for being part of our mornings, powered by Up North News, here on Civic Media.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow is affiliated with the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 6 until 9. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Next up on the Best Of edition of the Civic Media Spotlight, we have Matt and Air on Air Show with Greg and Calvin. Greg and Calvin discuss their skepticism of the New Year's while also highlighting this shouldn't be a thing.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I am your host, and you are listening to us on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are currently broadcasting all across the network live and in person. If you want to join us, you can always call 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also leave a comment on the live stream. We are always, well, not always, but when the show is on, we're on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that we still call Twitter. Don't go anywhere, folks. After us, we've got Tom Hartman from 11 to 2, John and Gordy from 2 to 5, and Pete Schwabe from 5 to 8. Pete Schwabe with Nightlife, Nightlight. There's still plenty of programming happening. And then just because we're pre-recorded tomorrow doesn't mean you can't join us and listen to a great overview of the retirement journey of one Jane Mattenair, our fearless leader. She's always our fearless leader here. She is the namesake of the show. And Christmas music Thursday and Friday, and then back live on Monday, getting ready for 2026. Because, hey, can't wait for a new year, Calvin. Are you excited about the new year? You excited?
I suppose. It's kind of like your birthday in the sense that...
That was depressing, I feel.
No, I didn't mean it in a depressing way. Okay. I meant it in the that nothing really actually changes or feels different. It's just a matter of a day.
Oh, no, because that didn't sound depressing at all. That was a total, you know yes, birthdays and...
I didn't mean it nihilistically. Yeah. I meant it, I don't know, in your terms of reality. I don't know.
You can't dig yourself out of it. You don't like birthdays. That's what, Calvin Butenhoff hates birthdays and New Year's.
It's not that I don't like either of them. It's that you...
I feel like it's a holiday that follows Christmas. It's like, it's fine.
Well, and it's just like, it's what you make of it.
Exactly.
Just because it's a new year doesn't mean anything is going to change. You have to take the action to make it change.
Time doesn't change you. You change you. Well, time actually changes you as far as your physical body and whatnot, because it's still, my body is slowly caving in on itself. But that's not the point. The point is, yeah. If you're a partier, New Year's must be a blast. For me, it's about staying in and absolutely just hunkering down because I like the quiet. But we'll talk more about that next week with regard to New Year's. We're going to keep it rolling now with a segment that you were all waiting for. I know, I was as well. It's time for another installment of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
And if you have a thing that should not be, you can send it in to Calvin and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. That email is still good. janesays@civicmedia.us. Send us your thoughts, tisbats, guest ideas, topics. We'll take a look at them. We might use them on the show. We've done it before. We could do it again, but that's how you can get a hold of us. Right now, we're going to take this tisbat all the way to the New York Post, that bastion of journalistic integrity, winner of, I think, half of a Pulitzer. This headline comes from Philippa Gaspar. Man breaks world record singing Christmas songs for, wait for it, 42 hours straight. A man has broken a Guinness World Record because he broken it. He didn't set it. There was one before, and he was like, hold my eggnog. Here we go. I'm going to sing for 42 hours straight without losing his voice. His name is Dave Purchase. He spent almost 2 days singing Christmas classics from Mariah Carey to Wham. I hopefully think he sang Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney, because that is my favorite. I don't know why I'm saying modern, but, you know, there's She Loves You and I Want to Hold Your Hand, blah, 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 whatever, you know. Wonderful Christmas Time, right up there. But he sang these Christmas classics for nearly 2 days straight. Despite feeling like he was hallucinating and being close to quitting at hour 32, he did not give up. This 63-year-old man... Calvin, I once pulled my back stretching in bed, and this man is 63. And if you saw the picture, I'll put it on the live stream. He looks so excited. He's a 63-year-old man who sang for 42 hours straight and Christmas music. I feel very insulted because I feel like as a 48-year-old man, I would get three songs in and I'd be like, that's good.
I'm only 27 and I don't know when the last time I even stayed awake for 42 hours was.
Hopefully not at all, man.
Yeah, like that's a like long
what happens.
Time.
That's what happens when you have a very bad lifestyle choice system, or you're just very sick. I mean, you should never be awake for that long. But he started the challenge on December the 10th and finished it on December the 12th. 684 songs helping Dave get through the sing-a-thon at Gloucestershire's docks were a dementia choir, a children's choir, and local. I don't know what that is. A dementia. I've never heard. a dementia choir? Never heard of that. Speaking after the challenge, Dave said, kill me. I'm just kidding. He said it was not just a vocal challenge, but also a physical one. Exactly. You're putting a lot of, I mean, it's not just your vocals. It's your diaphragm. It's your body. It's standing up. And looks like he also sat down. I nearly gave up at 4 o'clock in the morning on Friday. I felt as I couldn't carry on because I was hallucinating with the lack of sleep and I was falling. I was falling to sleep singing the songs. Yeah, I can imagine that. Exactly. That didn't stop him though. He did it. 684 songs, 42 hours later. And I got to say, I would be hallucinating too if I was just someone who was watching it, because I would be like, wasn't that guy just still, wasn't he here yesterday singing? Am I going crazy? He's still here, right? I'm not the one who's insane, right? But hey, Dave Purchase of England, Gloucester. I usually know how to say these names. Gloucester. It's Gloucester. New world record holder for singing for 42 hours straight, Christmas music. Good job, Dave. You didn't give up. You kept calm and carried on in the British tradition. And that is the end of yet another edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you so much to Calvin. Thank you so much to Tucker. Thank you so much to traffic, to engineering, to everyone who makes this show happen. If it wasn't for you, I'd be a guy talking to a mic that was not working. And I want to thank everyone for calling in, texting in, listening, watching, giving us your time. We appreciate you. I want you to have a happy, safe, warm, awesome holiday. Enjoy yourself. You should absolutely do it because you deserve it. We'll talk to you on Monday, pre-recorded tomorrow, Christmas music Thursday, Friday. Stick around, Tom Hartman, after the news. You're listening to Matt and Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned, stay close. Happy holidays. Ho, ho, ho. The mood is right.
Matt and Air on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 9 to 11. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
We go back to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on the Best Of edition of the Civic Media Spotlight. Pat is joined by Jeff Renicky, Executive Director of Friends of the Apostle Islands. He joins to talk about light pollution, saying that the majority of the population doesn't get to see the true beauty of the night sky due to light pollution.
Hey, welcome back. Who amongst us hasn't walked out on a clear night and looked at the dark night sky and just took in the beauty of it all? Well, maybe you think you have, but it turns out you might not have, because, I mean, light pollution is on the increase all over the planet, and it means that a lot of folks aren't seeing nearly the wonders of the night sky as they could be. So joining us now to talk about it and what's being done in northern Wisconsin is our friend Jeff Renicky, Executive Director of the group Friends of the Apostle Islands. Jeff, hello. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. It's been fun to talk about everything from the recreational opportunities. We spoke earlier this year about the buoys that are out there reporting on lake conditions, and now we're looking skyward instead. Let's start with a little bit about light pollution and just how bad it's getting.
Anyone who's been out on the highways and been blinded by those LED headlights, or, you know, seen a housing development lit up like a alien spacecraft, sees with their own eyes just how bad things are. But the numbers are really surprising to me. 80% of the world's population lives in a place where the night skies are diminished by light pollution. 80%.
That's amazing.
That means only 2 in 10 people on the planet can see things like the Milky Way from where they are. The night sky is being blotted out by light pollution, and it's doubling almost every decade, growing 10% a year. And that is costing us the beauty of the night sky and much more.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Milky Way. That's one of those things I would love to see. I feel like I don't get a good view of that very often. When you do, it is just so incredible. But, you know, that light pollution, like you mentioned, those headlights, especially those LED ones, are just blinding at times. What are some of the growing effects of that growing light pollution?
Yeah, well, that aggravation you feel by being blinded by those LED lights is part of the problem, or the lights shining in your bedroom window. We all understand that, you know, being aggravated at that sort of thing can raise your blood pressure, it can increase stress. Too much light can disrupt our sleep cycles, our circadian rhythms, suppress melatonin production, And all of these things have an effect on our bodies and on our emotions. These biological changes can play a role in the development of chronic diseases, many of which are currently under study. But it's not only a problem of medical issues, it hits our pocketbooks as well. Some 30% of all outdoor lighting in the U.S. is wasted, you know, light going up in the wrong place or on at the wrong time. That adds up to $3.3 billion in wasted energy costs and has an effect on potential global climate change, with some estimated 21 million tons of carbon dioxide per year, which is all going to light up areas that don't need lights.
Yeah, I mean, and this really gets to the economic notion as well as the climate notion of what's going on here. When we talk about, you know, upgrading our electric grid, for example, one of the things we talk about is that our current infrastructure system, well, some of it is decades old and it's essentially leaking a lot of electricity. But then there's all this electricity that we don't need because we're, like you said, we're lighting things that don't have to be lit up at certain hours or in certain ways. It can be more energy efficient. The light can be more focused. But this isn't just a human problem, Jeff. And we're talking to Jeff Reneke, Friends of the Apostle Islands, about light pollution. And we're going to get to an event happening in January there in just a bit. But apart from the human end of things, what's the impact of light pollution on wildlife?
Well, of course, unnecessary lighting can disrupt migration patterns of birds. While we are sleeping, a lot of birds are migrating, and being attracted to or blinded by unnecessary lights can cause problems in their migration patterns. 24-hour light can disrupt mating and hunting cycles for amphibians and night predators, even for plants. You know, plants can be fooled by 24-hour lighting cycles, and it can lead to an onslaught of artificial light and a change in the patterns of what nature is doing as well.
Yeah, I mean, and it's everywhere. For the 3 years that I was living in the Caribbean, during the time when sea turtles would be coming up to beaches and laying their eggs, they really made an effort to ask everybody to turn off their lights, that faced, the beaches, in order to not, disrupt the turtles into thinking that it's daytime, and then they may not come up and lay their eggs. So, I mean, there's different problems around the world. What are the kinds of things that we can do about it here at home?
Well, it's kind of a cliche, perhaps, but this time it's really true. This is an issue that needs to be addressed one light bulb at a time. And all of us can help, whether you are a homeowner or a business owner, or you work with the lighting plan for a whole town. It's important to follow what's called the five principles of responsible lighting. Number one, is it necessary? I mean, we all light up places that don't really need to be lit up. Mm-hmm. If it is, can you light it up with the proper brightness? Our front walkways don't need to be lit up like a Las Vegas casino necessarily. Is the right light the right temperature? Think of the difference between the romantic candlelight dinner and a bright LED headlight on the highway.
Yeah.
That's just a difference in light temperature. Then is it directed where you need that light by the proper fixture? Again, with 30% of light going up into the sky, that doesn't help keep you safe. And finally, is it controlled? One of the biggest concerns about lighting is people think they feel safer with bright lights. Well, studies show that the most safe lights are motion detector lights, because when they go on, you notice them and something is moving out there. But even something just as simple as an on-off switch, can you turn it off when you don't need it? All of that truly helps. But it really comes down to an understanding and appreciation for, the beauty and importance of the dark sky. And that's where our upcoming Dark Sky Festival that you mentioned just a moment ago comes in.
All right. Well, let's get to the details of that again with Jeff Reneke from Friends of the Apostle Islands. Tell us all about plans for this Dark Sky Festival in Bayfield.
It's really about appreciating, noticing how important our dark skies over the Apostles Islands really are. It's going to be held here in Bayfield, September 17th through the 25th. It's a week-long celebration of the beauty of the night skies. We have art galleries, we have telescopes, we have snowshoeing under the stars, educational programs with us astronomers, and programs that, as we just talked about, go over what people can do at home to try to make a difference in the night skies. A full schedule of events is available on our website, friendsoftheapostleislands.org. And we're just hoping to call attention to an incredible resource that we have here in northern Wisconsin, and that's the beauty of the dark skies over the Apostle Islands.
Yeah, this is Jeff Reneke from Friends of the Apostle Islands. If you want the full schedule of events for the Dark Sky Starbright Festival, head over to friendsoftheapostleislands.org. And then now once you have this festival and once people appreciate it, they might really appreciate why some of you are going through an effort to get a special kind of designation for the Apostle Islands. We know the designation of a national lakeshore, but now you're looking for a designation of the Apostle Islands as what's called a dark sky park through the International Dark Sky Association. Tell us more about that.
It's one of those classic things that you don't know what you got till it's gone. And it's much easier to protect dark skies while they're still dark than it is to try to reclaim them after light pollution has taken them over. And we do still have that resource up here at the Apostle Islands. And I think it can be an important, besides the wildlife aspects of it, an important economic driver. People are coming to see these Milky Way events, northern light viewing. For instance, northern light viewing worldwide is said to be responsible for $834 million in tourism dollars. A rural area where the skies still are dark could be greatly benefited by keeping those stars dark, or stars bright and skies dark. And so we hope to secure a dark sky park designation eventually for the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore as a way to appreciate, celebrate, and protect the ongoing beauty of the night sky over the Apostle Islands.
The International Dark Sky Places program has certified more than 200 places. The first one was Flagstaff, Arizona, back in 2001, which makes sense because there are these places in Arizona, you mentioned tourism before, where people literally just go there to see the clearest form of the night sky that's out there. And I can only imagine just the difference right now between the Apostle Islands and say where Parker is right now in Madison. Parker, can you tell us the last time you actually saw stars in the sky in Madison? Well, maybe a handful.
I see stars when I leave in the morning, but it is funny though, because I live decently close to a St. Mary's hospital or clinic. Mm-hmm. And their parking lot has so many lights that I genuinely can like see the cutoff of like, it's dark that way. Oh, the city's that way. It's
yes.
Really yeah. Weird looking.
Exactly. I mean, you can see things like that on the horizon. And so for people to be able to go to places that are certified can't help but be just some kind of an economic boon. There's now, what, some 50 of these designated places, Jeff?
Yeah, the only one in Wisconsin so far is Newport State Park up in Door County, but we hope to change that. There are other nearby places that are part of the program, the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness, Voyageurs National Park, the Keweenaw. We certainly hope to add the Apostle Islands to that, and also the city of Bayfield as one of the dark sky communities and the gateway to the Apostle Islands could be a part of that program. Again, it's much easier to keep them dark than it is to try to get them dark after light pollution has crept in.
And by the way, once you make it dark, you get rid of much more of the wasted human light. You can appreciate some of the natural light that's out there, Jeff. I felt like we spoke so much in the past month or so about Northern Lights displays, and you know what little bit I could see from down here in Chippewa Falls, I can scarcely fathom what those displays must have been like up in your neck of the woods.
Oh, they were brilliant. I've been fortunate enough to travel in a lot of dark places, and the recent display over the Apostle Islands of the Northern Lights was the most dramatic and beautiful Northern Light episode I've seen anywhere outside of the Arctic. It was truly stunning. And once you see something like that, you'll understand why we want to go so far and work so hard to try to give people the light they need, but still keep the dark skies available for the wonder and awe that they represent.
Exactly. So once again, Dark Sky Star Bright is a joint partnership between Friends of the Apostle Islands, the Bayfield Chamber, and Travel Wisconsin. It'll be held in Bayfield January 17th through the 25th, a week-long celebration of the night skies, educational programs with astronomers, like Jeff said, snowshoeing under the stars, art exhibits, telescopes, night photography. I would really like to pick up on that because, I mean, you an iPhone does a lot of stuff, but night sky viewing, unless you really know your thing, is a whole different thing altogether. So I just that alone would make it worth it. Go to friendsoftheapostleislands.org. Jeff Reneke, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All right. We'll continue along the way here. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow is affiliated with the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 6 until 9. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
To finish off this special best of edition of the Civic Media Spotlight, we end with Nightlight, with Pete Schwabe, who's joined by Todd Michaels. Todd and Pete talk about Oshkosh restaurants, and Todd talks about a place he might have gone before to prom. You are not going to want to miss these two chatting the chat.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, brother, brother. There's far too many of you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we just added Todd Alba to the show.
Our question of the night, folks, is what is your favorite Wisconsin city that you don't call home? You have to take out of the equation your city and tell us your favorite Wisconsin city. Bridget from the 818 says, Oshkosh, I have good childhood memories, love the old houses, the university, the history, the natural beauty, and the restaurant. Now, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. He produces the Mino and the Mayor show here on WGBW and WISS every morning with, of course, John Mino and Jim Schmidt. And he is also, on the side, a paranormal investigator and a friend of Nightlight. Todd Michaels joins us now. Hey, buddy.
How are you, Pete?
I'm doing very well, thanks.
You mentioned Leon's. I'm literally a half block away from Leon's, right? I live right there.
Oh.
So it's difficult to be this close and not be there every day.
You know, those juice burgers they're so good, but they're so piping hot. It takes like a day and a half before you can eat them. They're so fresh and but oh my gosh, are they good. Yeah. I love that.
It's all about the turtle sundaes for me, period. I don't need to have regular food. I don't need burgers. I don't need any kind of sides. I just need a large turtle sundae. Then I'm done.
That's your calorie intake for the day too. Probably put you over
for the week. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Todd, congrats are in order. Your city, Oshkosh, this is very exciting, was ranked out of 250 places to live. This came out last week. You may have already heard this, but Oshkosh came in 114th. Not too shabby.
It's not bad. I had this conversation with someone here. I was doing an interview earlier today in our Oshkosh studios at WISS, and somebody just joined the Discover Oshkosh team as their marketing director, or marketing coordinator, I should say. She grew up in Appleton, went to school at UW Oshkosh. She left. She was a Wienermobile driver for a while. So we had some great conversations about that. I wanted to learn like some of the skills you got to have to pull that off. But she came back to Oshkosh because she loves it so much. And I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh because it's a very underrated city.
Agreed.
And if you've never been, you've got to check it out. There are events all summer long here.
My wife, her mother grew up there and she went to school there. So when we started dating at the end of college, we did a long distance thing and I would go up there to visit her from Chicago. So I spent quite a bit of time there. And at that age in the bars, there was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore, but it was called Vitello's. It was an Italian joint.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's not there, right? I mean, I thought I haven't been to Oshkosh in a long time.
No, do you mean Vitali's or Fratello's?
I think it's Vitali's.
Yeah, Vitelli's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like that back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you hit, before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund, you know?
Is that a calzone in your cummerbund? Or are you just happy to be at the dance? Would you like to slow dance? All right, so...
So I'm sitting there dance, slow dancing and like eating my leftovers at the same time.
What if you couldn't live in Oshkosh, though, Todd, where would you go in our fair state? So many nice cities.
I have to say, Madison's a really cool city, but I also love La Crosse. It is an awesome,
beautiful
city. You know, school out there and you're right on the river and just natural beauty out there left and right. So I think between Madison, La Crosse and Oshkosh, it's the best of all three worlds.
You texted me a little bit ago saying you're going to Gettysburg. We only have a couple minutes before break, so I'll save those other topics for after the news. But why is Gettysburg haunted, Todd?
Well, I mean, you had the big battles out there, right? With the Civil War and all that kind of stuff.
What?
There's some really, really, I mean, I've never been there. This will be the first time that I've gone and actually been able to vacation and also do a little investigating. But from what I've seen and what I've heard from people that I know and also watching other investigators, there's just crazy amounts of activity there.
Wow.
And one of the cool things that I've seen actually kind of played out in some investigations was they've done investigations in one area and had a interaction with some sort of entity or energy. And then went to another location down the street, across town, whatever, and had the same interaction with what seemed to be the same entity or energy, meaning that energy can move and follow you throughout that area. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Are you? And so you said you're going for vacation, but are you going to do some investigating while you're there? That's a vacation for you, right?
Absolutely. I'm going to do that. I'm going to shut off all the electrical appliances like the cell phones and other stuff too. But I'm really looking forward to it. In fact, we're going to be also recording a season of podcasts while we're out there actually investigating and stuff like that. So really looking forward to the trip. First of all, I can't say anything more than just being really excited that I'll be away from Jim and John for at least a week. and the rest of you bozos, I'm just going to go have some fun, but I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, it's a well-deserved break for you, buddy. I'm excited for you. Are war places common, Todd, to have? Because of all the battles and stuff, I would imagine that's a hotbed of activity.
I mean, I think so. And you know, people will say, well, there's all that death there and all that. Certainly that's the case, but just think of all the energy it took to fight each other and trying to save lives. They would take old homes and turn them into makeshift hospitals and stuff like that. And I just think the amount of energy that went into fighting a cause probably kept a lot of that energy around. I actually heard some audio from a friend of mine. She was just out recording and out in the middle of nowhere, and she caught a battle cry on her audio, when she played it for me, I'm like, what is that? That sounds like something from an old movie. And so we actually looked it up, and it seemed like it was actually a battle cry.
That is so cool. All right. Well, we will have more with Todd Michaels, our pal, paranormal investigator, after a very short break. Don't go anywhere, folks. We got a lot of show left. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekdays from 6 until 8 p.m. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.